And now we are joined by Mr. Marshall Masters. How are you, Marshall?
I am great. How are you doing?
Do you care?
I do.
I'm fantastic.
You're a good guy. You're a good guy. You're a patriot.
Of course I care. I love asking people if they care, by the way.
It's a good question.
It's humorous to me, but yes, I'm doing great. I'm glad you asked, and I'm glad you care. And my goodness, Marshall, what a year 2020 has shaped up to be, and it's not even over yet.
Oh my gosh, this is something else. You know, for the last week or so, I'm over here in the Sierra Nevada foothills in Northern California. And so out and about running my errands, and, you know, everybody's the masking and all that. And I just started asking people. I said, could I ask you an informal, just a question, but with this COVID pandemic, do you think it's bullshit? You know, it was surprising. 3 out of 5 people said it was. 1 out of 5 said they were starting to feel that way about it. And 1 out of 5 gave me the most awful tongue lashing for having smeared the phenomenal reputation of Dr. Fauci, who, as we all know, sits at the left hand of God. That is, if you're a liberal. So,
right.
People are catching on to this. And, you know, the whole problem with COVID is I'm old enough to remember the Hong Kong flu. I was a young teenager then. Hong Kong flu makes coronavirus look like nothing.
What's the Hong Kong flu?
Oh, it was terrible. It was a similar kind of virus. It spread across the country. People, they would just, boom, drop dead. And it hit everybody of all ages. Okay? So it was an awful thing. And to put it in perspective, at the time, there was a vaccine that came out for it. And it was in very short supply when it came out. It was allocated in small lots to the different states. And a friend of mine who was had a political connection was able to obtain a vial of 10 doses, of which he took 3 for himself, his mother, and his sister. But then he loved me and my family. We were very close. And he said, here, just take the other 7 doses. And so we had this little bottle and we went to the doctor. And at this time, you know, this is when my mother was a secretary and she made $300 to $400 a month. Was it? And we had doctor bills in excess of $500 because it was so awful. My mother had come down with it. My sister had come down with it and the struggling. And the doctor told my mother, he said, I'm terrified my wife will die from this. If you will give me just 1, that's it. You'll take 6, but you leave the last 1 for me. I'll not only cancel your bill, but you'll never pay me for another office visit as long as you live. That's what this doctor was willing to give for 1 injection.
Oh, wow.
To save his wife. Okay, this is what a real pandemic looks like. This is a plandemic. Half of the deaths are not from COVID. They're outright murder. Outright murder. Democratic mayors using nursing homes to build death statistics and setting it, and they're being investigated for this, and as they should be. And then we're also finding they got their thumb on the scale for the reporting for the other half of the deaths. And what we could very well find out is COVID's not half as bad as the regular influenza. More people are dying, you know, people die from influenza every year in large numbers. All right. So what do we have? Well, I published this article that's titled, and if you go to my site, marshallmasters.com or yowza.com, YOWUSA.com, and the article is titled, Compliance Masking is Setting Us Up for Multiple COVID-19 Waves. Now, one of the things I want to talk about immediately is the general tone of conversation I am seeing with the Great Awakening. I mean, before the Great Awakening, business as usual was, it's all nonsense. I don't want to hear about it. Don't tell me anything. Nothing's going to happen. Total denial. All of a sudden now, everyone is waking up and they're learning about the ugliness. And the first thing they got to do is they got to call me to tell me about it. And it's like, I thought the Great Awakening I was waiting for a decade for the Great Awakening. And I'm going, this is great. My people and my contact list, they're going to say, Marshall, I'm ready for that conversation now. Let's talk about this. No. Imagine everybody you know within a space of a few days calls you to tell you, hey, did you know your dog died? I mean, it's like, aha. And it is this litany of they. The litany of they is what I call. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. They're going to do this other thing. They're going to do that other thing. They're going to do this alternate other thing. They're going to do that alternate other. I mean, it goes on in these perpetuating cycles of they.
Right.
Nobody asks the question, what are we doing? Nobody ever asked that question. And, you know, we're doing a lot. But you wouldn't know it because of the mainstream suppression.
Right. And I'm glad you mentioned that because you mentioned Q just now. And I'm sure you're quite aware of QAnon being banned from Twitter initially. Any sort of content in regards to any QAnon material is now deemed a bannable offense on Twitter.
Yeah. And this is part of the communist CCP minder strategy. I mean, America, you know...
Marshall, for the record,
2018,
I just wanted to stop you really quickly and say, even though I don't exactly believe everything about QAnon, I still don't think it's right to ban anyone for their beliefs.
Of course it's not right to ban anyone for their beliefs. And they're going to ban them on Twitter. What they want to really do is they want to shut down. They're going to ban the president as well. And that's...
You're probably right.
Of course they're going to do this.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Because... the globalists control the tech giants, and, you know, you already have the initial suppression against the president, you know, where they're, you know, flagging him for inappropriate content and stuff like that. But actually banning the account, they're going to do it. And
Most likely.
But we also have the emergency broadcast system, all right? And we're going to get it out. The other thing is that it's on 8kun, and right now, Q has a larger audience worldwide than all of the mainstream media outlets combined.
That's wild.
And this is the reason why they want to shut them down on Twitter and Facebook and wherever else they can, to block that, because they see... the growth in the movement is exponential now, and I don't care about these polls about Biden being, you know, 8 or 10 points ahead in the polls.
Right.
I'd love to see Biden explain that without stepping on his tongue. All right. I mean, the guy is, you know, he's got his senior moments. But with compliance masking, the thing here is, the question right now we're asking ourselves as a nation is this coronavirus about a virus or is it about an election?
Could it be about both?
That's the difference. Well, in my article, what I do is I go through COVID and I'm saying, look, we have all these second wave warnings.
That we do.
Right? I explain the second wave warnings, which are all coming from the Democrats. All right? The truth about compliance masking is compliance masking does not break or stop a pandemic. Compliance masking perpetuates the pandemic. Compliance masking perpetuates the pandemic. Now, that's a shocking thing to say. Do I have evidence? Oh, baby. Do I have evidence? Just a couple of months ago, there was a University of Berkeley professor. For those of you who live in the Bay Area, it's known as Berserkly. but what we have is they went in and they found a study that was conducted in 1920 by the state of California, all right, to look at the effectiveness of compliance masking. And they had two cities in this blind statistical study with empirical data. This is as solid as it gets. And what they found was that You have Stockton, California, which had compliance masking. Today, Stockton, California has compliance masking as it did in 1918 during the Spanish flu. So now let's ask the question, how did that work for Stockton in 1918? What they did was the state of California, and the study was actually published in 1919 by the California State Department of Health. All right. And the California State Department of Health, what they showed was that Boston, Massachusetts, which did not have a masking policy, you didn't wear masks in Boston. Whereas in Stockton, it was compliance masking. In the first wave, which is the big wave, both towns had similar patterns. The difference being Boston had approximately, I'd say 20% less death, but it was still both same pattern, same high. After the first wave, this is where it gets interesting. All throughout the course of the statistical data in the study, at no time did Boston, where masks were not required, ever exceed the number of deaths per capita as in Stockton. But the shocking thing was the waves. In Boston, Massachusetts, where masks were not required, the first wave was high. But because there was no masking, herd immunity was allowed to develop naturally. And that plummeted the death rate. And far fewer people over time died in Boston, where masks were not required, as opposed to Stockton, which had compliance masking. Now, here is the real kicker. Boston had one wave, and that was it. That was all. Just one wave. And no masks. In Stockton, where masks were required, they had three waves in the study. Not just one, three waves. So you suppress herd immunity, you set the population up for subsequent reinfection as the virus mutates. And this is what you see in the article. It lays it out. Now, there's also, I find that there is a correlation between COVID-19 and Huawei 5G technology. And that I explain in the article, and y'all can go to my site, marshallmasters.com or youwusa.com.
Youwusa.com.
That. Pardon?
I said youwusa.com.
There, that's good. I like that.
I like saying it, by the way.
Oh, good.
It just rolls off the tip of the tongue.
Yeah, it does have a nice alliteration.
It does.
It was originally, you know, the name was actually in the 90s. I had a travel business specializing in Russia, and it was Your Own World USA was the name of my agency. And because I was sending people over to Russia and Ukraine and, you know, the Baltic states, and did a lot of stuff up in that area. And then I just, I was in that business for several years, and then finally the mafia in Russia just destroyed the tourism. So I got out of it, but kept the domain name. And when I started my website, I just had it and I used it, and I didn't think I'd be doing it for more than 6 months or a year. So why get a new domain name? And now, it was a funny thing, because after about 6 months, this is when I started in 1999, but in 2000, I went to Israel, and I had a divine encounter experience in Israel that changed my life.
Really?
And, it changed the whole direction of my life. And so when I came back, instead of Yowza being something I was just going to do and kick the tires for a while, then move on to something else, it wound up becoming 20 years of my life. And so we have to be planning and preparing. And that for me is the whole thing. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people, they're looking for those ultimate photographs or ultimate videos that are so smoking gun that everybody has to agree this is Nibiru or this is this or this is that. And I gave up on that. I saw Nibiru naked eyes. Observation, September 9th, 2018, with a co-observer in Warden, Washington. And Nobody in Planet X field of research has done more image analysis and quality in image analysis than I have. In this regard, I've been a tent post in the topic. So when I looked at it, I knew exactly what I saw. That changed my whole life right there. Boom. That was the second time. So first time was Israel in 2000, and 20 years later, boom, I'm looking at this freaking ugly rock and going, oh, damn, that's going to leave a mark. And so that set my entire direction, and I'm no longer interested in validation because it's pointless. I put up images that to me are smoking gun images, and people still do the same
thing. People will still deny, and yeah.
That's right. You know, and it's like UFOs. It's like you ask them, do you think UFOs are real? And they go, well, there's mountains of photos, mountains of this, mountains of evidence, but you know, I'm really not going to believe it until there's an alien right in front of me eating my face.
Well, that's how it goes.
You know, that's how it goes. So instead of wasting my time on validation, my whole focus is, how do I help folks fight for their lives?
Right.
That's it. That's my bag. Save as many as we can. To me, the house is on fire, and I'm dashing in to try and snatch up and rescue as many infants and children as I can and get them the hell out of there.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a very positive attitude and way of looking at things. But going back to COVID for a moment here, you did talk about a mutation, which we have seen already, and lots of folks here in America were sort of looking at Sweden in hopes that their experiment with herd immunity would curb COVID-19. However, studies indicate right now that that's not exactly what's going on out there in Sweden. The approach to COVID has led to even more death.
Well, in Sweden, all right, what they're doing is Sweden is going with herd immunity and they're allowing it to build. But also at the same time, there's been this horrible suppression of therapeutics. Now,
and then I agree with you.
If you go to my article,
yes.
Compliance masking is setting us up for multiple COVID waves. There's a parallel. There was during the 1918 Spanish flu, there was one incredibly effective therapeutic that worked and would work for us today. Baking soda.
And guess what, Marshall? I actually drink just a little. I actually get a bottle of water and actually put a little bit of baking soda and mix it with water. And I do drink it every now and then.
There you go. And so you have that alkalinity. The virus can't propagate well, so it doesn't. I had it. I got the COVID. And
in
all places, where did I get it? I got it in an emergency room.
You had COVID?
I had COVID, yeah.
Wow.
I went in to go have a minor surgical procedure. I had to have something stitched up. And the nurse, I said, that's it. I pointed. I said, I just need to get this taken care of. And the nurse put me into COVID screening.
Oh, no.
For 90 minutes, I'm sitting in this little room, and finally the chart nurse comes in, and he's like, why did you lie to us? I go, what are you talking about? He said, you said you had a fever. I said, hell no. I never said that. I don't have a fever. And then he knew that this nurse that had greeted me, what she was doing was simply, how many cases can you report? That's it.
I see.
And so she put me in. And then what the emergency room did that was really mean was once they figured out that the nurse had done that to me, the doctor who treated me, guess where he treats me? In the COVID screening room.
Oh, no.
Yes.
That's not a good idea.
You know, it was stupid.
Right.
It was early on. 12 days later, it broke out. Exactly 12 days later, I'm driving along, doing errands, and it's around noontime, and all of a sudden, I start a fever, and I'm starting to sweat, and I have a scratchy throat.
Oh, no.
Okay, and I'm going, all right, these are the symptoms. So I went home, and when I have fever, I just lay down, rest, let the body fight it. But in about 6 hours later, I was absolutely sweating like a pig. I was literally soaking the sheets. I had to launder my sheets. And I was at one point, I was almost like, maybe I need to go back to this Fakakata emergency room where they gave me this.
Where they gave it to you, right?
Yeah. Thank you for nothing.
Bastards.
And then, you know, the fever broke. and that was it. So I probably hit like 103 or 104.
And this was early on in the game, right?
This was, yeah, early on in the game. And reason why I wasn't heavily affected like everyone else was back in last year in the fall, I started a morning regime. And every morning, because I didn't want to have any cold or flus this year. And so every morning I had airborne tablets original. I liked those. And so in the morning I'd make a cup of hot water and put a tablet in there. And I would start the morning on an empty stomach drinking that. And then during the day, an AM dose and a PM dose, I was taking 50 milligrams of chelated zinc twice a day, real good quality zinc. And zinc is really hydroxychloroquine. What it does is it doesn't attack the virus. It just creates a way to get the zinc into the virus, and the zinc is what does it. So the hydroxychloroquine is a transport mechanism, and it's very simple and it's reliable. That's the reason why they were using it. They have an antibiotic for a bacterial pneumonia infection, the zinc, which actually kills the virus, and then the hydroxychloroquine, which shoots it in there. And so you have guys like Fauci who's going, no, we don't need this because it only costs a few dollars for a generic drug that's safe. We'd much rather everybody spends $800 a dose for something that's not half as good. And that's the problem. People are looking at this and there's special interests. There's politics. This is just not a pandemic. It is a plandemic. This was planned.
It certainly feels that way, Marshall.
It was planned by China.
It certainly, yes.
In the article, and you read the article, you can explain, but this current breakout we have, I raised the prospect that this actually could have been a divine intervention.
I'm glad you said that. I'll mention something on what you just said right now, but early on in the game, you might have caught the G-type virus before, well, the D-type virus before it mutated to what's called the G-type, which is what we're seeing right now dominating the UK and around the world. So it's probably a good thing you caught it very early on.
I got the first wave.
Yeah, probably a good thing.
The first wave. Now the second wave is coming out with new nasty stuff. And the problem is that, you know, building the herd immunity, it really does work, okay? But we also have excellent therapeutics. There's hydroxychloroquine, but there's rezetivir or something like that.
Remdesivir.
That works extremely well, and it's administered in a very, very passive, very nice way, okay? So you don't have painful shots or whatever. You're just using a nebulizer, and you're nebulizing the medicine into your lungs, and boom, it deals with it. The problem is that there are doctors out there that are finding ways to deal with this. But the minute they try and step forward, instead of people saying, hey, let's take a look at what you're doing, it's working, next thing they know, they're getting letters threatening them that they'll lose their medical license.
Right.
Right.
And so people are understanding COVID was a setup. The whole thing about COVID is you got to ask yourself a question. Is COVID about a virus or is COVID about an election?
I think it's a bit of both now.
Uh-huh.
It's turned into
both.
And
what I raise here is I go back into what I believe actually happened. And the Chinese Communist Party is so evil.
Very evil.
So evil. It is stunning. It is absolutely stunning. And the rest of the world's going to find out more. But I have that in there. And compliance masking. Why is the president now, if compliance masking perpetuates a pandemic, why is the president wearing a mask? It's simple. If you can say, if we wear masks and we social distance, there's no reason why everyone cannot go and vote at a station as opposed to mail by ballot.
I think people should vote if they do it right.
So what he wants to do is get people into the polling stations.
Right.
So we have to play this game to get people in the – otherwise the Democrats want to have fraud by mail vote.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because it's the only way they can win now. They're already starting to project that they're losing, that Trump will never leave the White House voluntarily. And what you see in the Q community is what they're saying is the day after the election, we are going to see a violent eruption that'll stun the country. They are going to, all the liberals, they're going to see that their power has been completely rejected, and they're going to go crazy and burn down the place.
Oh, my. Marshall, do you see even more senseless acts of violence after election? Let's say if Trump wins, you really do believe there will be chaos in the streets.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be. But it'll play out, and then it'll fade out.
I see.
But the thing about the globalists is they're still going to be – they're going to fight all the way down. And they're going to be releasing false flags all the way down. But looking in America right now, and everyone is shocked to see what's happening in blue states. The violence that there are – the governors and the mayors, all they got to do is pick up the phone and call the White House and boom. They can shut it all down. They get federal troops and they shut down the problem. All right? And I'm old enough to remember watching television in the South when federal troops were helping those black kids go to school. All right? Because the state was malfeasant and was violating their rights. And so the government did step in. Eisenhower stepped in. So this is... what we have here with this whole situation is that what the globalists want to do, these are the globalists, these are the banksters that are driving this. The Democrat Party is just simply their minions. They use them like they use Antifa and Black Lives Matter and anything else. These are all just political action groups for them now. And they want, what they want to do is they want to break Trump and the Patriots, and they want to stop these freedom movements. They want to maintain control. And so if they destroy the economy, Trump will get blamed and voted out. I mean, what they're doing, they have no regard whatsoever for human life.
It's funny you say that, because I'm sure that's going to be used against Trump during this debate with Biden, what you just said.
I don't think there'll be a debate with Biden.
You don't think so?
Biden, just a nonstop senior moment.
I really do hope they debate, though, Marshall. I hope they do debate Marshall, because it'll be somewhat amusing.
Yeah.
I don't think Biden has a chance.
Like, if Biden's really going to do it with Trump one-on-one on a stage.
Oh, I'd love that.
Hey, man, that's schoolyard, baby. Someone's getting an ass whooping. Let's go to the bike racks.
I agree. I can't wait. So, I mean, I'm really hoping it does happen, Marshall.
You and me both, but I don't think Biden is the guy. Biden is just, he's a straw man. They want to bring somebody else in, so.
Oh, they do. Could. Yeah.
Yeah, but.
They want a woman.
People are seeing what's going on and where it's coming from. They're not happy with anybody. They're not happy with the way Trump is handling it because with COVID. Because he's not aggressive, all right, as they would like to see. But what folks don't understand is there's an awful lot of evil opposed to us. If America can be destroyed, if our Constitution can be destroyed, then the communists will be guaranteed world domination. Period. We're all going to be reading Mao's little book for the rest of our lives. If the United States, and this is, we have a lot of enemies,
yes,
internal and external, who want to destroy our country. And what you have to understand is Q and the Patriot movement is not a personality cult that's wrapped around President Trump. They just brought him in to be the tip of the spear. This is a military operation. And when you watch and see the maneuvers and what they're doing, It absolutely tells you that. And there's a lot put in place. There's a lot that we're doing. You know, China right now, economically, this is their Great Depression that's coming, because Trump is getting the supply lines out of China. They're going elsewhere into Indochina theater, or they're coming to the United States or somewhere else. A lot of them coming back to the U.S. But the bottom line is get the lines, get the manufacturing
right
out of China. And that's happening. But not only is that happening, what's not reported is the economic battle. China has been pushing its Belt and Road Initiative. All right. And it literally is exploitation of all of the smaller nations in the Indochina area. They go in, you sign the deal, you're screwed for life. And by the time it's finished, your ports, your water, anything that's valuable in your country is going to be owned for the Chinese because you defaulted on egregious loans. And that's how they operate. Trump is going in with his own initiative, okay? Except his is three times the size. And the nations in Indochina are all signing up with Trump because Trump's deal is simple. Fair trade. We just stop all this nonsense. You got a better mousetrap? Sell it. If we have a better mousetrap, you buy it.
Speaking of China, they also made a deal with Iran recently.
Oh, yeah.
A multi-billion-dollar trade and security pact.
Yeah, birds of a feather flock together.
So we definitely do have to worry about these two.
Yeah, we do. I mean, what you really have is the globalists have gone out and they have picked up all the bad actors they can get their hands on. And as long as those bad actors are willing to play by their rules, they'll back them and they'll fund them. And so that's the reason why we see all of this insanity coming from different directions. So you have Soros, you have China, this, that. It's because the globalists are in a battle for their lives, all right? They know that Trump's coming for him. He's gunning for him, okay? I think there was a time when they could have gone in and made peace with him. They could have made a deal of some sort, kind of let things go, you know, whatever. Perhaps, I don't know. My feeling is, no, I think Trump, when he came in, he just simply was the embodiment of the strategy that was developed by our military. Our military is doing this because I remember when I joined the Army and I raised my hand and I pledged to defend the Constitution from enemies internal and external, okay? And that I'd put my life on it. What the hell did I know? I was 17 years old. What the hell did I know a life really is?
Right.
You know, but I did it. And there's a lot of kids who raised their hands and they really didn't understand the depth of the sacrifice. And they gave their lives so that we'd have our constitutional rights. And we must always treasure them and honor their memory. Always.
Absolutely.
And that's what we must be doing. And what we're right now is, yes, what we see is a campaign of infiltration and subversion that actually began after World War II. And it's been going on. This is the reason why our universities and colleges are now indoctrination camps with absurdly high tuition fees, because they've gone out and hired everybody except professors or a few of them. But they all of a sudden have these deans of social sensitivity or whatever it is, and new facilities where people can come and emote and cry and have their snowflake moments and all of this idiocy. And that's the reason why tuitions are skyrocketing, because we're having to not only pay for education, which we're not getting that well, but we have to pay for the indoctrination camps. And that's the reason why tuition in major institutions is so expensive now. Because they're into indoctrination camps. And what do we see? It's all come out in front of us. And so we have kids who are sitting there saddled with these yokes of debt slavery called student loans, the most insidious things ever invented now. And they are actually, these kids are actually representing and hurting other people in service to the very folks who engineered their slavery, and they don't get it. They don't get it.
A lot of them don't.
I hope more of them do. I hope more of them do. So there are folks across the country who know, but there's no question in my mind. I don't care what the polls are saying, because we saw that in 19, you know, when President Trump was elected, the polls were all ridiculous and way off. And they're doing the same thing now. And they're, you know, skewing it, and the data is not good. They're going to, this time, Trump is going to have the same people that voted for Trump the first time are going to vote for Trump again.
Do you think we're going to see another Florida incident in regards to what happened to Bush back in the day?
No, they're going to block this out.
They're going to block it.
Right now, what Trump is doing is, and you hear, he's talking about vote by mail as being fraudulent. And he keeps pumping that message. You know, people, the thing about Trump is Trump does telegraph his future moves. If you just listen to him instead of calling him names and trashing him, just listen to what the man is saying. And he constantly is putting out clues. So he was talking about 1918, the Spanish flu, and how this is like it. And he kept saying that and saying that and saying that. And when I researched it, go look at the result in my article on COVID. All right. And so Trump is giving, and this is in the style of Q and QAnon movement. It's the crumbs. They can't give us all the details. It only opens up. I mean, if Trump were to come out and call this crisis for what it is and everything that's going on, you not only would have mainstream media throwing down on him, but big pharma. And it would be, you know, that would it. They'd put him between a rock and a hard place. He'd be in a vice, and they would just crush him. And they'd say, the man is senile and stupid because he wants to kill people. He's got to go out of office. So this is what he's having to deal with. But in the same time, you step back and you see what Trump is doing quietly. There's a lot going on. And he is the biggest thing. One of the biggest things to me was taking the Federal Reserve and putting it into the Treasury. Trump doesn't have to beg them anymore to lower the rate. He just orders them to do it, because now the private corporation called the Federal Reserve, which is owned by banksters in the Crown in London, now the organization that they created and shoved down our throats with Woodrow Wilson no longer is independent, where it can say, we're going to raise the rate, we're going to lower the rate, because we're going to control it so we can bleed everybody dry. Now they can't do it. And what I think I see Trump doing, especially with the stimulus, and the next thing after stimulus is going to come infrastructure, and we're going to continue having these multi-trillion dollar deals, and then we're going to have a full-blown audit of the Federal Reserve. And after that, the public is going to see how these banksters have made our lives tortured and miserable. And at that point, they're going to bankrupt the currency, reissue, and there we go. Already, what are we seeing with coins?
And there's a shortage, they say.
There's a shortage of coins. They're starting to pull back our hard currency, okay? And coins are something that you have to, the coin is fungible. All right. Whereas the script that we have, the Federal Reserve notes, they're like Deutschmarks back in Weimar Republic. You know, I mean, it'll take a wheelbarrow full of them to buy a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
And wow. So there's a lot that's coming down. This is a huge battle for control of the planet. Planet X is coming. And what's happening right now is whoever is running the show when it gets here, we'll be running the show after it's gone. And whoever loses that power battle, I mean, this is the mother of all musical chairs. And whoever loses, whoever's left standing, they get to go sleep with the dinosaurs. They're done. They're finished. And if we have a debt jubilee where the government forgives credit cards, student loans, everything, and all of a sudden everyone is cash solvent and free, and whatever money you have in the bank has been replaced with new currency backed by gold and silver. And then America is going to go in play. It's just going to be absolutely and totally amazing. And there's just these wonderful things that keep happening and pushing us further. You know, Nancy Pelosi is, she doesn't want to go to Washington. She wants to stay close to her $10,000 refrigerator so she can have her designer ice cream.
Yeah, the ice cream.
All right. But in this recent DACA ruling by the Supreme Court, Trump is going, my God, did they give me power? Actually, the Supreme Court gave Trump so much power, it's embarrassing. Because according to the Supreme Court, what they said was, okay, Obama violated the law, put in an executive order for DACA. You can't break it. There's, you got to go through the hoops. You got to do this. You got to do that. The whole nine yards. And what the Supreme Court did was they said, you know, a presidential executive order carries a lot more weight now than it ever did. And what we're going to start seeing are executive orders that are coming out. Trump's already said this. His White House has already said this. So we're going to have major things that are coming. And it's just going to dribble out one day from the next, one day to the next, one day to the next. But the globalists, the Dems, that's it. They're in a scramble right now. And they're losing credibility. You know, you look at the mainstream channel, mainstream media, their market share is dropping. And, you know, Fox is doing extremely well, although I'm not terribly impressed with Fox.
You don't like Fox now.
Kind of, they've lost their way a little bit.
You think so?
I mean, on the editorial, yeah, on the editorial side, you still have, you know, Hannity and Ingram, and they're doing their thing. But if you look, there's the editorial side and then the news side. And so what they did was they went left on the news side and then stayed right on the editorial side. And so that's the reason why you have Chris Wallace from Fox sounding like the schmuck works for CNN.
Oh, no. You don't like Chris Wallace now.
No.
You never liked him.
Yeah, he goes into an interview.
I thought he was okay.
The president catches him balls out right in front of the public, not preparing. He caught him. He actually had to, Haley, would you bring, you know? And he says, here's what you didn't look at in preparation for the meeting, and embarrassed him. And so Chris Wallace has always been an anti-Trump leftist. He just can't, you know, he can't do it like on The View, where they just really, you know, those women are just awful on The View. And all I got to say is there's only one thing those women on The View would say that I know I will never hear, and I actually on bended knee thank God that I will never hear these words coming from any of the women on The View. Namely, honey, I'm home.
Love okay. That.
So we're in a battle. Things are going. There's awareness. People are going, they. But they don't see the we. There's a lot. There's, if you know where to look, there's a lot to see to be hopeful about. It's a dangerous time. This is a battle for the soul of humanity. This is the quintessential battle of good versus evil. And the Q movement is a Christian movement by and large. All faiths are involved. And nobody walks behind anybody else. Doesn't matter whether you're Christian, Jewish, Buddhist, Muslim. You know, it doesn't matter what your faith is. Everyone walks abreast. Nobody walks behind. And that's the beautiful thing about this movement. But the lion's share of it are Christians. And the onus is on them to set aside differences and come together, not only for the country and the Constitution, but for the species and the future of our planet.
Understood. And Marshall, before we move on, we're going to wrap up pretty soon here, but I was just curious what you thought of this. Now, there's a gentleman who lives out here in all central California where I am, and I believe he drops off two vans. He randomly parks them in the city in busy areas out here. And he always has these messages plastered all over his van saying that Christ is coming back. And a few weeks ago, I passed by his van this time. And on the side of his van, he had the words, coronavirus, is this God's message for you? to you. And I was wondering, are there people out there who believe COVID-19 perhaps is like the rapture? Is it like a sign from God for some of these folks? I was curious what you thought of this.
Actually, in my article, Compliance Masking is Setting Us Up for Multiple COVID Waves, you read down the article, I raise the question, is this a divine intervention? And I answer it. And I believe we have a divine intervention here. It's, you got to follow my science. I lay it all out. But I do believe that we have a bit of divine intercession going here. Because if the Chinese, this is a bioengineered virus.
Right.
The fact that it's, we're in July and we're spiking, that's bioengineered. That virus is designed to be contagious. All right. So why did the Chinese bioengineer this virus? I explain in the article, for those of you listening and you want to know why COVID is a weapon and not a virus, go read my article.
YaoUSA.com, by the way.
There you are.
Very nice. And of course, Marshall, another thing I've been pondering about, since all sorts of statues are being removed, you're seeing all sorts of new procedures being put into place, new protocols being put into place. You see the cancel culture coming into the forefront. And going back to religion here, I can see the Bible being banned and outlawed. I could see religion will probably be going away. Statistically speaking, the newer generations have become less and less religious over the last, 10, 20 years now, Marshall?
Well, it's that, but, you know, when I first started writing about her changes in space threats in 1999, I was a born hard geek, just like Sergeant Friday. Just the facts, man. Just the facts. I didn't want religion or woo-woo or prophecy or whatever.
Right.
I wanted to be able to go get hard science and follow that. And I'm still a science guy. But along the way, I found God through the work. The work transformed me. And it's, I know it's tough for people to say, but for many years, for a decade, I always wondered, is this pointless? Are the elites so ultimately powerful that we have no fighting chance and that they're going to kill 95% of us? I understood all this in 2005. And then I learned that we are in an apocalypse. This is a battle of good versus evil. This is going to determine the fate of humanity. And it has changed me in one simple respect. The words, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The meaning of that is not in the definition of the terms. The meaning of that is what you feel when you say those words. And when I say that,
right,
those words, I feel it. I feel the presence of God. I feel hope. Because I see humanity rising up to claim its freedom. All God asks for us to do is to reach for what is ours. And if we will reach together in common cause and with courage, God will put what we need within reach. We're not going to be the donkey chasing the carrot. That's what the globalists want for us. Basically, what happens is God snips the string and hands us the carrot. So, this is about having faith in God, in what we're doing, in our country, in our beliefs, in our constitution, and most importantly, in each other. And we do this. I don't care about all this evil. Evil is just noisy. That's all it is.
Amazing.
The true strength is in the people. And like, you know, Lincoln said, you fool all the people some of the time, but you can't fool them all of the time. And right now, this happy bullshit is coming pretty thin.
I acquiesce. And Marshall, final question before we wrap it up here. Are humans better at creation or destruction?
I believe that God created us to evolve and to come closer to God. And that destruction is those who have rejected God use it to divide us and manipulate us to their advantage. But people want to just have a good life. raise their children, be kind to each other, and to get along. That's what we really want. The evil people are a small, ugly minority, and they're loud and they're vexatious. And that's what we have now, is a loud and vexatious minority. But when the American people, the middle class, which is particularly this, you know, the silent majority, is now becoming a silent supermajority. And when we get out to protest, we're pretty impressive. Now, we've seen people, you know, going up the waterways in their boats and waving the flags, and folks are just not doing it. Here in Grass Valley, the governor came out and said, we're going to go back into mandatory masks and lockdown. And this was just after things started easing up a little bit and shops were starting to open. Newsom doing this is definitely going to set us. There's going to be a string of bankruptcies coming out of this with small businesses over the coming year. That's going to be absolutely horrific. Absolutely horrific. And the blue states are, what the blue states are being used for is incubators. All right. They're masking. The masking perpetuates the pandemic so that as the virus mutates, which it is a bioengineered weapon. And so it is designed to do that. And our natural defense, we could fight this. We have ways to fight this, but we have both hands tied behind our back thanks to pharma and guys like Fauci. And there's, you know, Trump has to play ball with all of these guys, but they're deep staters. You get into Fauci's background, this guy's sick, twisted guy. Ah, some of the stuff he's done is really sick and twisted. But, you know, I don't know, the MSM's not going to report it, but he's the lead guy. Trump had to play ball with him. But remember that line from The Godfather? Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
Right.
And that's what Trump's doing. He's keeping his friends close, but he's keeping his enemies closer. That's why Fauci was in the middle of it. But now Fauci is being sidelined. Okay. And they're just going to have to, you know, there's just no way. He's up against pharma and mainstream media and the globalists. If he were to do the absolute right thing right now, which is just to say doctors are free to treat their patients with anything. If it's on the shelf and you can write a script for anything, use it. And if it's something you can't claim and people are near death, there was a doctor in New York, she was only taking patients who were diagnosed as terminal COVID. That was it, terminal COVID. And because they were terminal COVID, you have the right to try. And she was using hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and erythromycin, I think, an antibiotic. And it was amazing. She had these people coming in that could barely breathe. This is awful. You're fighting for your breath. And she reported that within as little as 4 hours after the first treatment, people began being able to breathe easier. And all 15 of her patients that were diagnosed as COVID fatal all recovered. And was this woman put up on the stage during a briefing? No. She was given letters, you stop this or we're going to take away your license from the state of New York.
Tremendous.
There are nurses that have seen the murders. That was murders. I mean, what they did in the nursing homes, that was intentional, outright murder. And not only was it murder, it was such a horrible lack of compassion. These people are dying, and they're dying badly, and they cannot have their loved ones with them. And it's like, well, that's fine. You can talk to your dying grandmother on Skype. Really?
Yikes, right.
Really? Is that like being there and holding grandma's hand and kissing her goodbye? No. And so families were put through cruel and unusual torture that they're losing parents and grandparents. And why? Because the governor needed a death. He needed deaths. And the whole thing was half of the COVID victims were murdered because half of the victims were in nursing homes where they were saying, take sick people, don't test them, don't treat them. You don't have the facility in the nursing home to deal with them. Put them in there so they can infect everyone else. And that's what happened. Okay? Cuomo and these other yotzes. And so people are seeing this. They're adding, you know, they're adding things up. And I see something similar that's going on with divorce. When parents are, you know, husbands and wives decide they're going to get a divorce, whatever, and I know them. And the only thing I ever say to them is, you know, you might try and find what pulled you together in the first place and rediscover that. But if you're going to end your marriage, remember, your children are all like little Kodak cameras. They're taking pictures of everything that you do as they grow up.
Absolutely.
And when they turn 18, they develop the film, and then you is what you is.
I'm afraid
so. And that's what I see happening here. Americans are like little Kodak cameras, and they're taking all the pictures. And at one point, we're all going to become 18-year-olds, and we're going to develop the film. And then there's going to be a reckoning.
It's going to be rough.
Yeah.
Yeah, with everything going on, Marshall, the psychological effects is something that does have me perturbed for this country.
It does, but hey, freedom is not something you get with Amazon Prime. You got to fight for it.
I agree.
So my message to everyone out there is you got some skin in the game, because if the globalists win, you have a 5% chance of surviving Planet X. And if you do, you will be a slave, and your children will be slaves, and your grandchildren will be slaves for countless generations to come. If you're sitting here going, well, you know, I'm not involved. Let these other people work with it. Everybody's got skin in the game, because if the globalists lose and the patriots win, you've got a 70% chance of surviving, not a 5%. Now, do you want the better odds? I do. I want the odds to be in my favor. You bet. So my message to everyone out there is, while you're lamenting and pulling your hair and you're going on about what they're doing, start talking about what you're doing. Start talking about what we're doing, and act like you got a pair. Whether they're high or they're low, act like you got a pair, because toots, your skin is in the game.
Amazing stuff. Once again, Mr. Marshall Masters, it's been a complete honor and pleasure to have you here. And I enjoyed our talk once again, as I usually do.
I enjoyed it as well. You're a good warrior for truth.
Clockwise, my friend. I feel the same way about you, Marshall. And we'll do this again very soon. And I appreciate your time. And ladies and gentlemen, you can find more material and content from Mr. Marshall Masters over at YaoUSA.com. And of course, you can pick up his books. Very good reads. All of them are, actually. Every book I've read from you, Marshall, has been fantastic. A true page turner, as they say.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that.
No doubt. Good stuff there, Marshall. Once again, love and respect you, Marshall. We'll do this again, my friend.
You got it.
All right, Marshall, be safe out there.
Will do. You too, bro.
All right, bye-bye. Take care. And there he goes, boys and girls, the one and only Mr. Marshall Masters. And yes, that was fun. And before I take it home here and pull this Larry Silverstein style, I do want to thank all of you out there for hanging out with us here tonight. And of course, if you want bonus material of the program, please go to patreon.com/Michael Deacon. And you can also contact me over on Twitter at Michael Deacon. My goodness, what a night. Patreon.com/Michael Deacon. International listeners out there, thank you so much for your support. Interesting night yet again. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. I do want to thank all of you for being here with me. We've talked a lot here tonight. Lots of subjects that do make you ponder. Stay safe, everyone, no matter where you are on this island Earth. I'm Michael Deacon, and with that said, the world is a mysterious place, and life itself is a mystery. Until next time, good night, everybody.